Hi, this is Deborah Wong, and we're talking about the Seattle City Council races. There are four incumbents running for re-election to the City Council, but voters only have to make a decision in two of those races during this primary election. That's because there are two races that have three candidates running, and only two candidates can advance through the primary to the general election. In City Council Position 8, incumbent Mike O'Brien is being challenged by Albert Shen and David Ishii. We spoke with Mike O'Brien about why he's running for a second term.
You know, Deborah, when I ran 4 years ago for City Council, I was really passionate about some of the work I wanted to do in the city around sustainability and social justice. One of the things that I had never really contemplated was, what was the job going to be like and would I enjoy it? And one of the questions I've been getting in the last 3.5 years is like, how's it going? Do you like it? And maybe in part because I had no expectation, I've been surprised that, yeah, I actually love the job. I work with amazing people. I get to work on issues I care about. There are days I bang my head against the wall and pull my hair out for sure. But I get up in the morning really excited to go to work. And at the end of the day, well, I'm excited to go see my family. I'm like, I can't believe the day's over now because I got so many more things I want to be working on. So I love that part. And it feels like I've been able to get a lot of things done in the last 3.5 years. And I'm ready to get even more done in the next 4 years.
What are you most proud of the things you've done in the last 4 years?
Well, you know, I had a background in environmental work. And so I'm certainly proud of some of my accomplishments there. You know, we banned plastic bags. We had this opt-out system for Yellow Pages, a commitment to the city becoming carbon neutral by the year 2050, and the climate action plan that followed on that. But I'm probably most proud about the work I did in social justice. Issues around homelessness. We saw a lot of people, still see a lot of people living in their vehicles because they've lost their housing. And we created a safe parking program for them where they can get off the street, have access to a bathroom and electricity, and perhaps most importantly, access to services so they can get back into housing. And most of these people living in their vehicles have never been homeless before. They just had were a couple missed paychecks away from being on the street, and those paychecks didn't come, and they're trying to make the best of it. And about 75% of the households that have come for that program in the last year are back in stable housing. And many of them have been there now for 6 months and have been really stabilized, which is great.
You've also become the go-to guy for campaign finance reform. Why did that come about? Is that something that you've been thinking about for a while?
It is, on a couple levels. One is, at the national level, the money in politics is just really disturbing. And I think it creates an environment where issues like gun safety that, you know, polling across America is, there's some reasonable things we can do, and yet we can't even get a vote for it at the national level. And in my mind, money plays a big issue in that. Climate change, you know, the oil lobby has a lot of money. You look at what happened in the presidential race last year, and the handful of people that now control our national political scene is really awful. The city, on the other hand, seems to be doing a lot better. But when you look at the trends, money is becoming more and more influential. It's more and more expensive to run. People are raising money from smaller, fewer and fewer donors and larger amounts. And it's become this game where a handful of people in the city of Seattle who write large checks are the de facto folks everyone goes to when they want to run for city council. And I think what we're seeing, too, is the races are less competitive. And I know so many amazing neighborhood activists, community activists, people that work really hard in this city and are passionate, hundreds of people that would be amazing council members. And if you ask them to run for city council and then tell them that the expectation is they need to raise $250,000, the vast majority of them have no access to that type of resources. But that shouldn't stop them. Just because they're not connected to money doesn't mean they should be precluded from being a city council member. And I think public financing will open that up to a lot of people. And I think that's a great thing.
Isn't that kind of writing yourself out of a job, though, in a way? I mean, you've got a challenger now who's raised more money than you
yes.
have. Is that worrisome at all to you?
It is worrisome for me. I mean, I'm really proud of the record I've ran on. I'm really proud of the endorsements I've earned in the last few months. But I still admit, you know, I have someone running against me who has raised a lot of money and is a qualified candidate. But, you know, personally, I wish, of course, I was running unopposed and the city of Seattle would just grant me another 4 years. But as a citizen of Seattle, I know I'm going to be a much better council member if I'm out there working really hard for every single vote right now. And, you know, hopefully I'll win big. But I want to be working for it. I got to be working for it. And everyone an incumbent every 4 years should have to look inside themselves and look in the mirror and say, it's going to be a hard fight because there are going to be a lot of good people running against me. And am I ready? Am I up for it? Am I willing to fight? And I think when everyone is asking that question and answering it, and great contenders are coming out of our communities, the democracy will be so much better.
Let's just talk about where you sit kind of on the political spectrum. You have the reputation for being kind of the most liberal or one of the most liberal, mm-hmm. progressive, left of center, whatever you want to call it, yeah. members of the council. Do you agree with that characterization, first of all?
Yeah, I think I always worry about labels being assigned to folks because, you know, there's a whole host of issues and how I rule on them. But yeah, I think I do believe that I'm one of the very progressive council members. You know, the issues around sustainability and social justice, I push really hard and I'm passionate about those. You know, it's interesting because my background's actually in finance. I have an MBA from UW and I was a chief financial officer for 10 years at a law firm downtown. And I actually have a very business-oriented mind. And I like to think of myself, well, I'm very passionate about the progressive, that I'm also very pragmatic. The reason I think environmental sustainability is so important and the city reaching carbon neutrality as soon as possible is because I don't think our economy works and I don't think our people survive if we can't figure that out. And I also look at, you know, this one of the biggest strengths of Seattle is these immigrant and refugees that have come to the city. And they're amazing people with amazing stories to tell and amazing experiences that I've had the chance in the last 3.5 years to share with some of these folks and learn from them. And it's made my life richer. And if we can figure out how to support them as they integrate with our society and engage them and have them interact with all the people that maybe have lived here for generations, as a city, we're going to be so much stronger. And economically, we're going to be so much more competitive. You know, this is a global economy we're entering. And the people of Seattle, if we can just tap into those resources, we're so much better off. And so, well, yes, I think it's very progressive, some of the work I'm working on. I also think it's extremely pragmatic and it's a smart thing for cities to be doing.
You did not get the endorsement of the Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce.
Correct.
Your opponent, Albert Shen, got it.
Yeah.
Does that worry you at all?
Well, you know, of course, I want everyone to endorse me. I'm a politician. I want everyone to like me. I had a conversation last week with someone at the chamber, and I asked for some feedback on that. And it's interesting. He said, you know, Mike, no doubt you are the most accessible council member by everyone's measure from the chamber. And I make a habit of when issues come before me to pick up the phone and call someone over there and say, hey, what do you guys think about this? You know, the climate action plan, I really want a chamber input on this because it's important that they're on board. He said at the end of the day, you know, you just took some votes that we disagreed with. And I can live with that because I'm proud of those votes. I support paid sick leave. I support the job assistance legislation. I think those are not only good for the community. I think in the long term, they're good for our businesses. And so we disagree on that. I respect their position. I hope they respect mine. And we're going to continue to have a good relationship. But, you know, when I lose endorsements because of my values, I'm okay with that.
Well, the other thing that you did perhaps differ with the business community on initially was the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And you and the mayor came into office opposed to the tunnel and were kind of alone in City Hall in your opposition.
Yeah.
You lost that battle. I mean, in some ways, in many ways, the city has kind of moved on. But in retrospect, do you think you may have, you know, unnecessarily alienated folks in the city because of your opposition to the tunnel and because of how you stood with the mayor on what became kind of an unpopular position?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've done, not just as a council member, but in my environmental career, personally, I take really strong positions that I'm passionate about. And when I think something's critically important, I'm going to fight for it really hard. But I also work very hard to maintain the relationships, especially with the people I'm arguing with. And, you know, throughout the fight on the tunnel, you know, I had a lot of friends that had different positions on that, including a lot of people that are involved in you know, Downtown Seattle Association and the Chamber. And I remember, you know, when that vote went down a couple years ago and, you know, I was up at 5 a.m. the next morning going to TV shows and radio shows saying, you know, the people spoke and we've moved on. And I got calls from a lot of folks that said, you know, Mike, I disagree with you on that, but I really respected the way you fought for it and I really respect how you responded to the vote. And so I don't think that hurt me at all. I still believe that when it comes to transportation, we need to be focusing on public transit and non-motorized alternatives. Of course, the automobile is going to be here for a long time, and we need to be making investments to keep our roads safe. But I'll continue to fight for those things that I believe in, but I'll do it in a respectful way. And when that fight's over, I pick up the phone and we're on to the next thing. And, you know, win or lose, I'm ready to go back to work.
Can you talk about a little bit about your relationship with the mayor? Because a lot of what we've been hearing lately in the campaign is that, you know, the mayor has been divisive. The mayor hasn't listened. The mayor has made a lot of perhaps unnecessarily made a lot of enemies during his 4 years. You certainly seem to be coming from an entirely different perspective, but have stood with him on a lot of issues. How do you sort of navigate that relationship with him? And do you think that the rap against him is fair?
You know, the mayor came into office on a platform of really wanting to shake things up in the city. And, you know, when you're mayor and you're talking about shaking things up, that can be threatening to a lot of folks. And I think from day one, there are a lot of folks that I think appeared to have the attitude that, you know, we're not interested in working with this guy. We want to make this as short as possible. I look at the mayor's record and he's done a lot of really great things. You know, certainly learned a lot, I think, over the last 3.5 years. And I think he's evolved and progressed in his mayoral statue. But, you know, as far as accomplishments and his record, it stands out pretty well. And so then I think there's the issue of personality, which, you know, mayors are mayors. And people love him, people hate him, all those things. And, you know, my personality and the mayor's personality are pretty different. But a lot of the issues he's fought for, I think, are really great issues. And I don't hear really any of the mayoral candidates arguing that his accomplishments, they would have done something differently. And so I guess as often as the case in politics, it comes down to personalities. But I'm supporting the mayor for reelection. He's fought for things that I really care about, especially on climate change and around coal trains. And I think it's great to have a leader at the top that's going the extra step on issues like that.
Okay, so we've talked about the last 4 years. Going forward, what will be your big issues for the next 4 years? What are you thinking to focus on?
You know, in the city of Seattle right now, I think we're blessed in part because, you know, the unemployment is down below 5%. You know, we have, you know, some of the, you know, best job generating companies going in our region and in our city. And at the same time, when you look across our city, there is still massive amounts of inequality. Whether it's people that are underemployed because they're working in low-wage service jobs, which are, you know, getting them off the unemployment rolls but aren't really providing a real career or supporting their family, or communities that have historically high unemployment and continue to do that. And so, you know, one of the things I'm going to be working on a lot is figuring out how we make the connections and create the structure so that everyone has access to, you know, living wage jobs, a job that can support a family in the city of Seattle, in a city that's getting more and more expensive pretty quick. Another issue that I think is really critical is transportation. You know, the session in Olympia just ended a couple days ago, and they failed to act on a transportation bill. And even just a little piece of that would have been huge, to allow Metro to have a funding source to maintain current bus service. And so now, you know, some of us at the city and at the county and throughout the region are getting together, figuring out where can we scrape together some money. You know, we're looking under the couch cushions, you know, figuratively. Because we can't afford to let Metro service go down. And we're going to spend the next 6 months, you know, fighting really hard to maintain service when we should be talking about how do we increase service. You know, density is happening. People are moving to Seattle. The buses are packed. More and more people want to ride transit. And we're not even having the conversation of expansion. And so, you know, that's frustrating. And I'm disappointed in leadership in Olympia for not allowing us to grow smartly in the city of Seattle. And at the same time, we're going to have to find, if we have to find a path on our own, then we'll go out and find a path on our own. And it's not the most efficient way to work, but if it's the only way they're giving us, then we'll do that.
What are the options? What can the city do?
Well, you know, the city and the county have some other revenue sources that we could tap into that we haven't tapped into. You know, a couple years ago, there was a, the city has a transportation benefit district, and we had a vote on a vehicle license fee that failed. But that authority is still there. So if you know, that were a smart way to do it, there are little pieces of property tax or sales tax that we could use. Again, none of these are the best tools for funding transit. The best one was the one that you know, cities from across the state had come together and asked Olympia to provide, and they wouldn't even take a vote on it. But, you know, transit is so critical to the people of Seattle, to the economy of Seattle, to the businesses in Seattle, that it's simply unacceptable for us to let service decline in King County and in Seattle.
That was freshman city council member Mike O'Brien. We have interviews with his challengers and with candidates for city council position two. They're all on our website, kuow.org, and search elections. For 94.9 KUOW, I'm Deborah Wong.